Please welcome Dean Thompson. Natural.
Is this up high enough? Is this good? Does this work? Okay, a little higher. Is that better? Okay. It was a dark and stormy night. When my wife woke me from a dead sleep, she stood there, silhouetted by the bathroom light. Her swollen belly punctuated by her navel, like a giant nipple emerging from her body. And she said, "We have to go. My water broke. We have to go." Instantly, I was alert. I was awake. I said, "Wait, what? Contractions? How far apart are they? Are they painful?" She said, "No, it's not painful, and I'm not having contractions." But I called the midwife. I told her my water broke, and she said that we need to get to the hospital. We need to go. So, this was it. That little parasite that my wife had been incubating for the past 9 months was ready to emerge. My first child was going to be born. So, I swing into action, put my pants on, put my shirt on, socks, shoes, get my jacket, no, raincoat, because it's raining outside, hat and sunglasses, because we're probably going to be coming back when it's daytime, okay, car seats in the car, music tapes to set the mood, make sure it's all really nice in the delivery room. I should probably bring a book in case I get bored, I'll have something to do. I got my knife, because I'm a man, all right. Let's see, I got water and snacks. Food, I thought, food, I'm not going to be able to eat meal for a while. Man, this is going to be, man, I look over, my wife's still getting ready, so I'm like, I got a little bit of time. So I go into the kitchen, pour a bowl of cereal, get the milk on the cereal, I start eating my cereal, and as I'm eating my cereal, my wife comes out carrying her stuff, and she looks at me, she's like, "You're eating now? You're eating cereal? We have to go." So I choke down a few more bites of cereal, toss the bowl in the sink, we hop in the car and drive through the rain to Sierra Vista Hospital. So we get to the hospital, we walk in the delivery room, there's the bed, chairs set up there, a little loungy chair, that's for the husband in case he gets worn out by everything, he can take a nap right there. I wonder if it's ever used. She puts on that oh-so-flattering hospital gown, climbs into bed, and now the contractions are starting. And they're painful. But I'm there. I'm the coach. I'm helping her breathe. I'm doing the back rubs, you know, counter pressure, doing the effleurage, playing the music tapes. I'm there just like they trained me. The hours roll by. And as the hours roll by, we find out that the baby's coming out sunny side up. Which basically means instead of the soft, squishy part of the face going across the spine, it's the hard back of the skull grinding across the nerves in her spine, which is creating what they call back labor, which apparently, I see some people nodding out there, which apparently is one of the most painful types of labor you can have. I wouldn't know. I'm not a woman, right? And it's at this point I realize how ineffective I really am. I mean, I'm there, right? I'm there, I'm helping out, but my wife is in another world. She is, folks, she's like this warrior that is just, you know, striving to get this thing done, and I'm just kind of there, right? The hours continue to roll by. Dawn comes. The sun comes up. People have breakfast. Visitors start arriving in the hallway. Relatives show up. So I go out and I talk to them. I say, "Yes, mother and child are fine. It's just taking a little longer than it usually should. And she is suffering from back labor. That accounts for the barking sea lion noises that you hear in the room over there." So I go back into the room, and as the 11th hour rolls into the 12th hour of labor, my wife's pouring down sweat. She's trying to get up. She's bearing down. We can see the head. It's crowning. It's coming up, but the baby's not coming. It's just not coming out. And so the doctor gets a suction cup and sticks it on top of the baby's head and tries to pull him, but it's not working. So now it's getting to the point where my wife's getting tired. I mean, she's a trooper. She's trying to get it done, but it's just not happening. And so the doctor says, "We got to get this baby out within the next 20 minutes, or we're going to have to do a cesarean." So this gives her a little extra impetus. It's natural childbirth, no drugs. She's just going for it, right? So I get on one side of her. The midwife gets on the other. The doctor gets some forceps and puts it around the baby's head. And with the forceps in one hand and a scalpel in the other, My wife pushes and he pulls and cuts and my son slides into this world. And my first thought is, thank God I'm not a woman and I will never have to go through that because there's no way I could do it. And then my next thought was, oh, it's a boy. He won't have to go through it either. But then I look at him and there's something wrong because his leg is backwards. His knee is absolutely, totally backwards. And everybody in the room is a little freaked out by this. And so they take him off, they do x-rays, they come back, and the doctor's like, look, all the bones are in the right place. It's just we think his knee got hyperextended during the birth. And so he takes his lower leg and he just kind of takes it and he bends it back around to where it should be and lets it go, and then the leg goes whang back over there. And so he takes it again and he bends it back around and tucks it in there and wraps him up in a little blanket and then hands him to him. And he goes, don't worry, babies are very flexible. I was like, okay. And the only other time his knee came out again was when we were giving him a bath a few hours later, and we were giving him a bath, the nurse and I, and all of a sudden his leg went whang, came out, and the nurse jumped back. She's like, oh, I better go get the doctor. I said, no, I think I got this. And so I just reached over and grabbed his lower leg and brought it back around and tucked it in, and I told her, babies are very flexible. And he's fine. He ran and played like all the other kids, and he's fine. He's a happy, healthy young man right now. But that's not the story that goes to the theme, okay? This is just the setup, because the story that applies to this theme happens about 2.5 years later, when my wife's memory has faded from those 12 hours of back labor, and she has decided that she's ready to have another kid. Now, we had a son, but we thought it'd be cool to have a daughter, right? And so my wife, being the researcher and scientist that she is, she researched all the ways you could increase the probability of conceiving a female. And so through timing and teas and rinses and proper positioning, we were able to naturally impregnate her with a double X chromosome zygote. And she began growing our daughter in her uterus. And as her belly swelled and got bigger and bigger, a growing sense of dread kind of crept over her. For the memory of that labor started coming back, and she realized that this thing in her was going to have to come out. And so she started focusing. You could call it prayer, visualization, whatever. She was focused, visualizing a fast, quick, easy birth. Easy, fast, quick, not 12 hours, a fast, easy, quick birth. And so the day came when my daughter was to be born and my wife started having contractions. Now, she had had contractions the previous week, like 3 or 4 days during that week, but they never amounted to anything. So we thought, well, let's just go for a walk and we'll see what happens. So we didn't go too far when she said, you know, these are a little bit different. I said, what, are they painful? She goes, no, they're not really that painful. See, her judgment was skewed from the back labor, right? She goes, but they're kind of coming a little quicker. We should probably go to the hospital. I didn't have to be told twice this time. We hopped in the car, drove to Sierra Vista. We walked into the delivery room. And when we walked into the delivery room, as soon as we walked in there, her water broke. And it was then we realized we got there in the nick of time, because the next 50 minutes were insane. The midwife later remarked afterwards, she said, I've never seen anything like this. It was lightning fast. Your daughter's name is Ren, and she flew into this world. My wife went from 4 centimeters dilation to birth in 18 minutes, which apparently is something that's supposed to happen like 3 or 4 hours, take 3 or 4 hours. They call it precipitous labor, like you're falling off a precipice, going off a cliff. It happened so fast and the contractions were so long and intense that when my daughter came out, she was still. She made no noise, no movement. It was a little scary. And they started massaging her, and then she started making these faint noises, and they realized that she had fainted. She was unconscious. She fainted from the stress of the labor coming out, and so they whisked her off to the ICU, and she spent a night and a day in the ICU, and she was fine, happy, and healthy. The same can't quite be said for my wife, because due to the speed of the delivery, her body didn't have enough time to properly prepare and enlarge the portal from which my daughter was to emerge into this world. And as a result, there was some damage that occurred down there and some trauma, ended up with stitching and a lot of swelling and hematomas. So much so that she became this minor celebrity kind of a sideshow in the maternity ward for the few days that she was there. And in the sense that every time a new shift would come on, new people, they go, hey, come on in here, you guys, come on. You got to check this out, man. Look at this. Can you believe what you see right there? And as I was writing this story and getting information from my wife, she mentioned, she goes, well, do you remember what that one nurse said? I said, no, I don't remember what she, and so she told me. And after she told me, it's one of those lines, as a storyteller, once you hear it, you can't not use it, okay? But basically what the nurse did, upon seeing my wife's nether region, said, oh my God, it's like the vagina that ate New York. And at the time, I mean, now we can think, we can laugh out about it, but at the time, it really wasn't that funny, okay? And in fact, when my wife heard that I was gonna be telling the story, she's like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be there tonight when you tell that story. I said, well, why not? She goes, because everybody's going to be staring at me. I said, well, at least they'll be staring at your face this time. But she's fine. She got better. My kids are happy. They're healthy. And I'm just glad that we were at a good hospital with good people when both of my children were born in the nick of time.